the welcome you've already been given. So Happy New Year, if I've not had a chance to say that to you yet. I hope you've all managed to have some good rest time over the holidays. Just before getting back into it, I take it most folks are probably going back on Tuesday or Wednesday for work, so I hope that goes well. Just a quick two other notices to give. Sheila Thompson has been in the hospital the last few days. She seems to be doing okay. She seems to be doing a bit better now and should get home in the next couple of days. But if you can keep Sheila Thompson in your prayers, that would be great. And also to say, today was the deadline for applications for the South Africa mission trip. So if you've got an application form, please come and see me at the end of the service and I'll gladly take that off you. If you're still swithering, we can extend it for a few days if you're still thinking about coming along. So it's not too late yet. So today, in today's world, we all like challenges. There are television programs that are full of challenges. The Apprentice, anyone here a fan of The Apprentice? There's a few people. Audrey's hand was straight up there. She's a big fan. So The Apprentice sees teams competing in business tasks. The other one, and I have to admit, this is probably one of my favorite shows on telly at the moment, is The Great British Bake Off. I do like The Great British Bake Off. And so there they have three baking challenges. Then going back to the 90s, and I'm about to reveal my Saturday night viewing in the 90s here. Who remembers Gladiators? Yes. Gladiators, what a show that was. And so for the young people who might not know what Gladiators was, there was challengers, and they had to take on the gladiators, and so they had to like climb a wall, and they had to get to the top of the wall before a gladiator did. So it was Gladiators, and then there was the most brilliant show of all, Challenge Annika. Who remembers Challenge Annika? I have to admit, I had to Google a little bit of this, because I couldn't completely remember the facts. So Annika Rice, she'd be given a challenge to try and, like, it was something like build a children's playground in 2 or 3 days. And so Annika Rice and her cameraman, anyone remember the name of the cameraman? Dave. Dave, the cameraman. They would go around in her little blue Jeep for a few days, and they tried to persuade companies to help with the project at no charge for their services. Closer to home, we have some folks in the church who like a challenge. So Ian Clark took on the challenge this year to ride 1,000 miles and managed to do 1,700 miles. I'm not too sure if Alec Watt is here, but I think Alec tries to do that in a week. And some of the young people take on the Duke of Edinburgh Award, where the challenge is to spend a few grueling days hiking in the hills and the mountains of Scotland. So we all like a challenge. In 2015, the youth group Ascend, we spent a few months going through the book of Jonah. We started in June, broke for the summer, and then we finished up at the end of October. It's a great book to study, and I think the Contour small group might have gone through Jonah as well. Yeah, they did. And I think the youth enjoyed it. I certainly did. We did have a bit of a weekly laugh, predominantly at my expense, because when I say the word Tarshish, it sounds really weird. I can't say it properly. I did notice when Dominic spoke a few weeks ago, he avoided saying it altogether and just said Spain. So I think I should have done the same thing as well, but it was a weekly occurrence. I just couldn't. I ended up getting one of the young people to say it for me because it just sounded so weird. But in amongst the 48 verses of the book of Jonah, there was one or two verses that specifically caught my eye. And one of them specifically caught my eye because it actually bugged me a bit. But it also served as a big challenge to myself and a big challenge to the youth. And we'll come back to that challenge in a moment. But the verse, it caught my eye because, firstly, I was annoyed at Jonah. I felt really annoyed at him. But secondly, I think it's because I still see a bit of it today. So a quick recap before I get to the verse. God asked Jonah to go to Nineveh. Jonah isn't keen and goes in the opposite direction to Spain. On the boat, God sends a great storm. The sailors figure out the storm is due to Jonah's disobedience. And after attempting to row out the storm, they give in and they throw Jonah overboard. The storm then relents, and in the depths of the sea, Jonah is swallowed by a whale. Jonah then seems to come to his senses and cries out to God. And then one of the greatest verses in the whole of Scripture, God listens and a whale vomits Jonah out onto dry land. We all like that one in the youth. In Jonah chapter 3, God then calls Jonah again to go to Nineveh, and this time Jonah does go, and he declares, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. It's probably the shortest, or at least one of the shortest preaches of all time, I think. However, God, in his abounding goodness, uses those 8 words to speak to the hearts of every single person in the city. Every person, including the royalty, hear the words, they understand them, and they repent of the wickedness that had characterized them for so many years. It's absolutely incredible. It's amazing. The whole place, they fast, they wore sackcloth, and the king sits in a pile of ashes as they recognize they had sinned against the Lord. I did remark to the youth, that is not why we do a bonfire every year, so folks can sit in a pile of ashes. They truly did turn from their past lives, and the Lord relented of the disaster that he said would become them if they did not turn to him. Now, for Jonah, you would have thought this would have been amazing. You know, I can promise you, if I ever preach a sermon of any length, let alone 8 words, and an entire city come to faith, I will throw the biggest party imaginable. You know, I kind of think, you know, what should have Jonah done? What should chapter 4 have looked like? So first of all, I think Jonah should have started off in an Alpha course. You know, let's do Alpha together. Let's get some of the fundamentals down. Then he might have got some small groups up and running just for them to get together, to examine the word together. He could have started a discipleship program. He then could have taught them the latest worship songs and some of the classics as well. He could have started to implement programs that look after widows and after the elderly. You know, what are the needs of the community? How can they support one another? Where are those who are struggling? Where are those who are forgotten? And Jonah, he could have been going door to door, seeing how everyone was getting on, answering questions and praying for them as they discovered more and more of who God is. That's how I wanted chapter 4 to read. But that's not the Jonah that we see. You know, that kind of excited, what do I do first reaction. Sadly, and very, very frustratingly, we in fact see the exact opposite. Verse 1 of chapter 4 says, it displeased him exceedingly. It displeased him exceedingly. And then Jonah, he just goes on to complain to God about it all. And see, the verse that really stood out to me, the one that really just, you know, just gritted. I didn't like it. It was the first few words of verse 5, where it says, Jonah went out of the city. Jonah went out of the city. Why on earth would you want to go out of the city at that time? You know, what on earth is there to be complaining about, to be mourning about at this time? Now, here is a group of people, the Ninevites, who have been defined by their wickedness for years. The city was a huge threat to the people of Israel. And here they are, they're vulnerable. They're willing to make massive changes in their lives as they respond to the creator of the universe for the first time. And Jonah stood out of the city. It feels a bit disturbing, actually. It feels so sad. It feels so wrong. But that is what Jonah did. He had no contact with anyone. Not even a word of encouragement, a word of guidance. He just removed himself completely from the city, and he decided just to watch. So when we looked at this passage, I challenged them with a few questions, and I'm going to ask, I'll challenge you guys with 2 similar questions as we go into 2016. So the first is this. Do we want to watch cults and build sides or our local areas from a distance, or do we want to get stuck into the community? And the second question is, are we ready for this? So to the first question, do we want to get stuck into cults and build sites? I hope the answer is yes. I really do. Most of you will know that we are taking initial steps to plant a church out in Kintore. So we have a number of Kintoreites in Hillview and those in the surrounding area. And there seems to be a real passion, a real sense of God's calling to plant a church in that community. And we're still searching out what that looks like, but it feels really exciting. And we've had a few prayer events, prayer meetings about this, and they've been absolutely brilliant, absolutely brilliant. There's a real sense of expectation of us really needing God in this, like his guidance in this, of not being able to do this in our own power at all, but really needing the Holy Spirit to lead the way. And one thing that has really stood out to me in every meeting is the outward approach in all of the meetings. At every meeting, at least a few people, if not almost everyone, has prayed for the residents of Kintore, and particularly for those who don't know Jesus. It's been great. It's been really good. And whenever we have one of these meetings, it is an open invite to the church, and we'd love to see you guys along in that. But there seems to be that sense of praying that at the core of the church, within the DNA of the church, is outreach. Connecting with the community has been evident in almost every single conversation. From where will the church meet, what's the most accessible for the community, to what will the church do? You know, churches, they need Sunday schools, they need Bible studies, they need fellowship times and prayer meetings, but that outward focus should always remain core to its DNA. So that same DNA that the Kintore plant is looking to have, that is written into Hillview. And so we've got vision statements and value statements. When Hillview was replanted a few years ago, these were put together as a guide to who we want to be as a church. So I thought I'd have a quick look at two of them. So the first one is a value statement, and it's entitled Missionaries. Here it says, "We have good news to proclaim, hope for now and for eternity, in the person and work of Jesus. And we have Christ's love to share with our family, friends, and those in need in Aberdeen and around the world. This is not just the task of professionals. We all participate in God's purposes for this world. The church exists to point others towards the glory of God, to model something of the kingdom of God, to be people of restoration and hope and light." And the vision statement, it's entitled, "We see a church that tells people about Jesus." Here it says, "We will embrace God's heart to reach this lost and broken world. We will be unashamed of the gospel. We will find ways to share the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection. We will encourage our friends and family to respond to Jesus' offer of new life in him. We will enable others as they take this good news to all nations around the earth." So as you hear those two statements, how do you think we are doing as a church? When you read those and you think on everything that's happening within Hillview, do you think we're getting close to that or we're achieving it? I'm not too sure. We probably all have slightly different perspectives. But they are significant statements. They're significant statements that we've all signed up to and we believe are right. And five times in the vision statement, it uses the word, "I will." I will. And five times, in fact, at least five times, in the value statement, it has a word or a phrase of action. So proclaiming, participating, sharing, pointing, and modeling. You know, outreach should be a part of our DNA here at Hillview. And I think in the coming years, there will be more and more opportunities for us to do more and more. So yes, at the moment, I'm not wanting to kick us. We've got some really good things happening at Hillview. So we've got mainly music, Alpha, the parenting course is about to start in a few weeks' time. I've just had some Christmas services, holiday Bible clubs, Rowan Court services, one happening later on today, fireworks evenings. And in fact, this coming week, I'm meeting with two people to discuss how we as a church can engage the elderly in the area, and I'm really excited about that. I think we're really just actually scratching the surface of what outreach could look like for us here at Hillview. So as we step into a new year, Can we all consider what those statements mean for us personally, but for us as a church? So when you get home at some point this afternoon,